Good evening and welcome to our midweek Lenten service. This is the third service that we are having during these midweeks of Lent, this Wednesday night that we gather together to behold our Savior, to see Jesus in the Old Testament. If you haven't done so already, please look behind me at the banner that hangs directly behind me and over the banner on the opposite side. Tonight we will see Jesus, our sacrifice and our substitute. We will follow the order of services found in the service bulletin. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Let us confess our sins in the presence of God and of one another. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions, and in all that we have not done. Forgive us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Deliver and restore us, that we may rest in peace. By the mercy of God, we are redeemed by Jesus Christ, and in him we are forgiven. Let us rest in his peace until the rising of the sun, when we shall serve him in newness of life. We join together to sing Psalm 27.
Thank you.
Gracious Father, you have been the light and salvation of your people in every age. Bring us, we pray, through the troubles of this present life, that we may see your goodness in eternity, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We begin our second part of the Passion reading according to St. Matthew in chapter 26 of Matthew's Gospel, starting with verse 36. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray, so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them, "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus replied, "Friend, do what you came for." Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him, "for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way?" That time Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you've come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place, that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Here ends our Passion reading for this evening.
Into your hands I commend my spirit.
Into your hands I commend my spirit.
You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Into your hands I commend my spirit.
our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, my brothers and sisters. You arrive home one day to find in your mailbox a notice from the California Highway Patrol. Take it into the kitchen table, open it up, pull out a paper, and attached to the paper is a photograph. It's you driving your car down I-80. And below it, there's a speed noted, and written on the picture says 66 miles per hour. And requests that you arrive for a court date 1 week to follow. The next week, you find yourself in the courtroom, faced only with a judge and a representative from the California Highway Patrol. And before you can even say anything at all, the judge begins. The evidence before the court is incontrovertible. You cannot deny it. There's no need for the jury to retire. There it is, the photo. You were going 66 miles per hour in a clearly marked 65 mile per hour zone. Penalty for this crime is the electric chair. If you do not want to die next week, then I suggest you find somebody who's willing to take your place, because you broke the law and someone has to die. And no matter what you plead, you begin to shout out, but judge, that's not fair. I was simply reaching over to turn the radio station, and my foot must have just pushed a little too hard, and it was only 1 mile an hour over. You're going to tell me that's punishable by death? Come on. There's no excuses in this courtroom. Sentence is final, and you have to pay the price or find somebody to pay it for you. If you were lucky enough to find somebody to take your place in that electric chair, I bet you the next time you hit the interstate, you'd think twice before you went over the speed limit, wouldn't you? I'm sure that a good majority of you already know where I'm going with this. For the rest of you who haven't figured it out yet, listen as I read to you the words for tonight's meditation, the words of our text, taken from the Old Testament book of Leviticus, selected verses of chapters 4 and 6. We'll begin with the selected verses from chapter 4. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, when anyone sins unintentionally and does what is forbidden in any of the Lord's commands, if the anointed priest sins, bringing guilt on the people, he must bring to the Lord a young bull without defect as a sin offering for the sin he has committed. When a leader sins unintentionally and does what is forbidden in any of the commands of the Lord his God, he is guilty. If a member of the community sins unintentionally and does what is forbidden in any of the Lord's commands, he is guilty. When he is made aware of the sin he committed, he must bring as his offering for the sin he committed a female goat without defect. He is to lay his hand on the head of the sin offering and slaughter it at the place of the burnt offering. Then the priest is to take some of the blood with his finger and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and pour out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar. He shall remove all the fat, just as the fat is removed from the fellowship offering. And the priest shall burn it on the altar as an aroma pleasing to the Lord. In this way the priest will make atonement for him, and he will be forgiven." There was no hiding for the Israelites in God's courtroom. There were no excuses. Even, whoops, condemned. That was the fact that God wanted to get across to the Israelites. That no matter what sin, no matter who committed it, it was deadly serious business. Sin, any sin, equals death. Sin and the guilt that it brings must be paid for by blood. That was the message that God wanted so vividly to get across to his children. There was no such thing as a trivial sin or as a light sin. Did you notice that all of these sins mentioned were unintentional? They didn't mean to do them, they simply just happened. And yet they were serious. And they separated the children of Israel from their God and deserved to be paid for by death and blood. Imagine this evening if all of you had brought a goat in tow. And you all had your goats next to you. And instead of pausing silently for a minute to reflect during the confession of sins, I would have each one of you come forward. Then you would place your hand upon that little goat's head. And you would feel his warm little head and his furry little body. And you would confess your sins on the head of that goat. Even those sins that you didn't intend to commit, they just simply happened. And then you would stab that goat in the neck, right in the jugular. And the blood would start flowing out. And the animal would start to die beneath your hands. I would catch some of the blood in a cup. And then I would take that cup up to the altar, and I would sprinkle it by dipping my fingers in. And then I would come back to your goat, who is now recently deceased, and I would gut your goat. And I would take out the fat, and then I'd put it on top of the altar and start it on fire. If I were to do that this evening, I don't think that it would just be PETA who would be upset with me. I have a feeling you would be truly and really disgusted by the gory scene that you would see. And it's not one goat for all of you, it's one goat per person. That's a lot of death and a lot of blood to have going on in church. And yet that's exactly what God wanted his children to do. He wanted them to see the seriousness of their sin. I can't help but think that the Israelites paid attention to that animal slowly dying because of what they had done. The message was clear. This blood should have been your blood. This death should have been your death. You deserve to die because you broke the law. There was no hiding it from God. He's the one who created the law. He's the one who can see everything. His record is perfect and yours is not. And as a consequence, do you see what happened because of your sin? There was no excuses for the Israelites. There is no excuse for us tonight. Oh, we're the kings and queens of excuses, aren't we? Especially when it comes to those unintentional sins. I didn't mean to take the Lord's name in vain. I just wasn't thinking. I just said it. After all, everybody around me is using it all the time, and it just kind of popped in my head and then rolled off my tongue. I really didn't mean to do any of that. Oh, I really didn't mean not to have a devotion with my family today. I suppose we could have gathered around the Word of God before we went to bed, but there was this program on, and I just forgot to do it, and by the time we got around to it, everybody was too tired, so we just went to bed and neglected your Word. I'm sorry, God, I didn't mean to. Lord, the beer commercial came on, and the girl was dressed like that, and I didn't mean to think of her that way. But it was on the television set before I could avert my eyes, and it popped in my head. I didn't mean to. I'm very sorry for that. I didn't mean to slander my coworker and talk bad about them. It's just that everybody else was saying how he does such and such a thing and such a way. And after all, Lord, it is true. The guy is annoying and somewhat of a jerk. But I didn't mean to speak badly of him. It just slipped. There's no oops before God. All of those sins deserve death. Your blood should flow, and you should suffer hell for them. Sin is deadly serious, and it is not to be played around with. And that was just the unintentional sin. Chapter 6 continues on with what happens when you intentionally sin against your neighbor and against the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, "If anyone sins and is unfaithful to the Lord, by deceiving his neighbor about something entrusted to him, or left in his care, or stolen, or if he cheats him, or finds lost property he found, or whatever it was he swore falsely about, he must make restitution in full, add a fifth of the value to it, and give it all to the owner on the day he presents his guilt offering. And as a penalty, he must bring to the priest, that is, to the Lord, his guilt offering, a ram from the flock, one without defect, and one of proper value. In this way, the priest will make atonement for him before the Lord, and he will be forgiven for any of these things that he did that made him guilty. Once again, these aren't exactly major sins, are they? All they're doing is invoking the rule of finders keepers, losers weepers. All they're doing is telling a little lie as to what happened to that thing that they borrowed from their neighbor. Not exactly major things, but still, the Lord says for the Israelites that if anything like this happened and you intentionally sinned against your neighbor by doing any of these little petty things, you were guilty. You were really, truly guilty of intentional sin, not against your neighbor, but against the Lord. You have been unfaithful to the Lord if any of this should have happened. These little petty sins that were intentional. The Israelites knew they were doing them, knew they were wrong, but it's not that big of a deal. Oh, yes, it is, God says. It is that big of a deal. First of all, Israelites, you will pay back that person what you owed them, and then you're going to add a fifth to it. You borrowed a hedge trimmer that was $100, and you ran over it with your car, you're going to pay back $120 to your neighbor. But that doesn't cut it. Just paying back and even paying back more than you owe isn't going to cut it to remove that guilt before God because you're still guilty. That guilt is still on you like stink. No, you have to get a male ram, perfect and unblemished, and you have to sacrifice it, not to the priest, to the Lord. Because it is the Lord that you have sinned against. That's pretty costly for such a petty, little, minor sin. Not that big of a deal if I don't report that income. It's just a couple $100s of a check, and there's no way the government will ever find out about it. Well, the government has enough of my money. What do they need $200 taxable for? Not really hurting anybody. I know it's not exactly right. It's kind of in that gray area, but oh well. It's just a little sin, right? Oh, I remember that CD that I had in my collection. I borrowed that from my roommate in college. I remember him looking around for it, but I hadn't seen it at the time. It was only after I got home that I realized that I had it. And I saw him that summer, but I really liked that CD, and he didn't seem to miss it too much, so I'll just keep it. After all, I'm sure he has something of mine. The Lord says it's not just enough to pay back, even for that little, minor, petty sin. You can't overpay the government next year and make good with God by making better on your income tax next year. You can't buy your old roommate a box set of CDs of their favorite band to make up for that one that you took in college. Even if you were to do that, you'd still be covered with the stink of sin. And you would be guilty, deserving of death before God. Brothers and sisters, this evening, take all of those sins that you considered so petty and so not worth fussing over. All of those little intentional sins and all of those whoops, unintentional sins. And take your hand and place it on the head of your Savior. Feel his hair and the warmth of that human head. And see his eyes, those innocent eyes, look up at you as you confess all of those stupid little sins with your hand placed upon his head. And then see him taken off tonight. Taken from Gethsemane to be led like a lamb to the slaughter. And watch soldiers rip out hair from its roots and the skin, and rip skin from muscle and muscle from bone. See the blood that results from that beating. As they shove the crown of thorns onto his soft head, and those sharp thorns pierce into his scalp, see that blood trickle down his face, that warm blood of a living human being. As he's nailed to the cross, see the nails pierce his hands and feet. Hear the agonizing cry as the blood rushes forth. The bloody, gory scene that we see on Golgotha. Blood everywhere. Blood flowing. The blood of an innocent Jesus Christ that flows. Listen to his voice as he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That should have been you crying that out. For all of your sins, the ones that you consider major and the ones you consider minor. That should have been you and your blood flowing on the cross. That should have been your blood flowing from the wrath of God directed at you for what you have so foolishly and thoughtlessly done. That is our Savior sacrificed and slaughtered for us. If you think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, here you see its nature rightly. Here its guilt may estimate. Mark the sacrifice appointed, see who bears the awful load. 'Tis the Word, the Lord's anointed, Son of Man and Son of God. What you see on that hill is the fulfillment of what God intended from the beginning. When Adam and Eve first used their petty little excuses and passed the blame onto each other and onto Satan, and tried to avoid God's wrath, God promised a Savior, the Savior that he promised again through the words of Isaiah. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. Notice that on the cross, Jesus does not shout out. He does not look at you and stare and say, why did you do this to me? I didn't deserve this. No, he takes that on willingly. It is his Father's will. He is the sacrifice marked from the beginning of time to pay for our sins. And he goes there willingly for you and for me because he loves us that much. And don't leave the hill at Golgotha, that gory, gory scene, without realizing that he also said on that hill that it is finished. And that all my punishment has been paid for in full in my place. Don't leave that hill without realizing the great love of God that went to that length. So that you would never have to suffer those things. So that you could have heaven as a reward, as a free gift. That is our Savior who is sacrificed for us. This Lenten season, we see Jesus paying for our sins. This week, don't take your sins lightly. And don't make excuses for them. Don't label them major and minor, really bad and not so bad. Realize the deadliness of your sin. Look at yourself in the mirror of the law and then turn away from that. Turn away in repentance and cling to your Savior, the sacrifice who bled and died for you. You know, throughout those 1,500 years, think of all the gallons of blood that were shed by those animals slaughtered. And yet not one single drop of their blood really meant anything. It all pointed to Christ. The blood he spilled that day washed away all of your sins. He atoned for you. He made you at one with God, and your guilt is removed forever. May that wonderful news fill you with joy, so that your life, your thoughts, your deeds, your actions, your words reflect the love that God has shown you. May God give us the strength to do that this coming week. Amen. Please stand. Let us join together in prayer. Not all the blood of beasts on Israel's altar slain could give our guilty consciences peace or wash away our stain. But Christ, the heavenly Lamb, you took all our sin away. Sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they. In faith I place my hand on your dear head divine. As penitently here I stand and lay on you my sin. And my soul looks back to see the burden you did bear. When hanging on the cursed tree, I know my guilt was there. Believing, we rejoice to see the curse removed. We bless the Lamb with cheerful voice and sing his bleeding love. Amen. Please be seated for the collection of the offering. We join together to sing the prayers. Present, O merciful God, and protect us through the silent hours of this night, so that we who are wearied by the changes and chances of this fleeting world may rest in your eternal changelessness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Teach us the patience and perseverance of the cross, so that our Savior's victory over sin, death, and Satan may give us strength to overcome.
through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Look down, O Lord, from your heavenly throne, and illuminate this night with your celestial brightness, that by night as by day, your people may glorify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty and merciful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless us and keep us. We welcome you and are glad to see you all here this evening. We hope that this midweek oasis has refreshed you by seeing your Savior, the price He paid to win you salvation. May that salvation comfort you. Please permit one announcement that there is a call meeting that has been scheduled for next Sunday, scheduled for Sunday, March 6th, after the late service. This is a call meeting to replace the Johnsons. So once again, Sunday, March 6th, after the late service, there is a call meeting. Have a blessed evening.